the NFL Podcast. Feels good to be loved.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis. I'm coming to you from a virtual room filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Yo! I'm excited. No. I am feeling the love. I'm feeling the love.
Why are you yelling directly into the microphone?
Yo!
Greg, I mean, this has already gone, you know, on Instagram somewhat viral. I don't know about viral, but it's been put on Instagram, and you seem to have learned no lesson.
I deleted the gram off my app. I don't have to watch myself do stupid things. I'm going to do a stupid thing possibly during the show, too. There's a fridge repair guy who they got a cancellation. They're coming. Having a fridge broken during a heat wave is a problem. And I'm going to have to answer that phone. So I'm warning you.
Well, and Dan's just walked off set, so everything should be fine. Eric and I can handle it ourselves.
This is life right now with pandemic. Okay, you got the pandemic still roiling.
Dan didn't even mute his mic.
He just left.
Screaming.
The kids are starting school again. Yeah. And now, like, it's like virtual learning too. This time we mean it. Like, you're going to lock your kids on the computer for 5 hours. And the NFL season starting. So it's good.
Was that a door, Dan? Or did you just hit your children?
I did not beat my children. I slammed
some doors. You were not muted.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I don't need to mute. I think our company and also all major companies that are acting as if, you know, this is okay, that working parents can somehow juggle full-time jobs with children that are in the house 24/7 that need now to be educated for hours and hours a day.
Right.
The center doesn't hold. Something
has to go, and it's going to be either the podcast or the children.
I think it's the children.
For us.
I think it's the children.
The federal government has told a lot of people they don't really care about them, you know, for much of our country's history, but a little extra during this pandemic. And children are on the list. Old people.
Don't forget about
black people.
Who else can go, Mark? You know who else can go?
Who's that?
You and I and Mark and Greg. We could all go. We could just die. We could die from this. That's the crushing stress
of trying to put like 82 puzzle pieces together that don't fit. Yes. I hear you.
Anyway, we're still lucky. We're very lucky.
Female assassin is starting to feel like a pretty good option.
Here's the thing, though. The football adds a level of like, okay, it's going to be tricky. But in the end, it feels good. Not just because we like football, but it is nice, even though we're going to be juggling it, to like have like real things to talk about and real work versus like trying to make up stuff during the summer. I believe that.
And
it's a good distraction.
At the end of the day, you know, we have awesome jobs. And, you know, boys, I am not, you know, I'm not one to self-mythologize. You know, I'm not one of those people. But want to share an anniversary.
To do what?
Yeah.
I feel like you're exactly one of those people. No?
No, I would never do that. But I want to share an anniversary today. 10 years ago today, the old Zeuser left the coal town behind to start a new life in California. I got on an 8:55 p.m. flight, American Airlines, JFK to LAX. I hit the reset button on everything. And here he is, right here. Look at that boy.
Oh, look at that. A little bit less salt in the hair situation there.
Yes, you can see the difference. A lot has happened in those 10 years. Marriage, children, everything we've done here at the NFL, so despite everything, I do feel grateful today. Mark, I am still not very happy about the fact that in these 10 years that we've worked together, that you had football Sundays off for the first 2 years of it.
Oh, there were.
But otherwise, other than that, it's been a great run with you as well.
I do. You know, our friendship was just sort of in its early stages then, and you were, the Browns and Jets were, you know, trying to figure themselves out, but I would text you from the Browns bar that I'd go to on Sundays, and you would be rolling into work about that time into what is essentially like 8 bees nests put together, and I'm like, you know, floating home to have a nice Sunday and watch the late game by myself, and that put our friendship on rocky territory, I think, early on. But Dan, I don't know if we'd even...
I wouldn't go that far, but...
Well, I don't know if we'd even be sitting here if I had, you know, on your second day of work, if I hadn't taught you the content management system, CMS, where would you be? I mean, I think set the table
your
for you.
Your work, your training work on the content management system, as someone who had, you know, 14 days of additional experience, that is something I will never forget.
Well,
so thank you,
that's
Mark.
Appropriate. And then Greg came, and then Wes showed up, and, you know, we were just a podcast. It made it very, very big.
Anyway, 10 years ago today. How about that? All right, let's get into today's news show. Not even like a congratulations from Greg or like...
Oh, congrats. Oh, well, I was...
Notice he can't do that. The basic things. I know.
My congrats was holding off on making more self-mythologizing joke. I can't say that word. I guess it's
oh, you can't? One. Okay. Good. You're a good guy, Greg.
It reminded me a little bit. It's like whenever like someone on Twitter, like an actor on Twitter will be like, 12 years ago today, first day on the set on Ghostbusters 4. And it's just like, okay.
What is going on with you?
I don't know.
All right, let's do some news. It's a rundown Friday. Let's hit it.
All right, get ready for my big FBI moment.
They're all dead, babe.
Good.
Michael Murtaugh.
The Michael FBI. Murtaugh.
And speaking of, 10 years working together, Mark, and what a long, crazy ride it's been. To me, still the greatest individual scene that represents male friendship in the history of film is Pitt and DiCaprio at Rick Dalton's home watching FBI together and just chilling on the couch. What a genius scene by Tarantino.
I think that's sort of what the whole movie's about. I mean, that's sort of the heartbeat of the whole thing. And that was ripped from an actual FBI episode where DiCaprio is playing what was Burt Reynolds' character in real life. So, I mean, that's a total Tarantino-ism. Got the poster right behind me, so here we go.
There you go.
Greg, all any right, comments on that conversation between Dan and I?
I had a great male bonding moment watching that movie with our buddy Gonzo. Of course, there's lots of,
John Ronald Gonzalez, born March 12, 1977, is an American sports writer who is married to NFL media broadcaster Colleen Wolfe. John, who's a Pisces, resides in Los Angeles with his wife and two dogs.
Colleen was there, too, and her friend, so I guess it wasn't all males. But it just felt... It is a good hang movie to watch.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Nice, Greg. We're back on track. All right, let's get into the news, starting with some sobering news, actually. Washington football team coach Ron Rivera announced Thursday that he has been diagnosed with what he terms to be a very treatable and curable form of lymph node cancer. Rivera told ESPN's Adam Schefter that he was stunned. He was angry. He feels like he's in the best health that he's been in. But he went to the doctor because he had a lump on his neck and got the diagnosis. He's going to continue to coach. That's his plan. It's full speed ahead, Rivera says. But now he has this on his plate, and we wish him the best. And obviously cancer is something that's very close to this podcast, as Chris Wessling fights cancer for the second time in the past few years. So we understand how all-encompassing that becomes. Ron Rivera, Greg, is a guy that we've already talked about on this podcast, has more on his shoulders as a head coach than really any coach I ever remember since we've been doing this show. And now he has the fight of cancer in his personal life.
Yeah, I can't think of a coach taking a job and then having to deal with more quickly just from an organizational standpoint. And then this personally is so separate, and you hope the best for him. It's encouraging that the doctors told him keep working. But he did say he's going to feel it. You know, he expects to feel it a little more in 3 or 4 weeks. And so I'm sure that's something that the Washington football team is going to do everything they can to support him. And that if someone needs to step in and help him with some of his duties in that time, you know, I'm sure at least they have a little bit of plan for it. Jack Del Rio is their defensive coordinator, who of course has been a head coach a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really think of a coach that has garnered more respect, and you know, to his days as a player, and right into what he's done now. And I think it's so heightened and clear to see in Washington, taking on, as you said, just extra roles, stuff that head coaches in their first season typically wouldn't be asked to do. I can think when the Rams moved, they essentially kept Jeff Fisher around an extra season or two because they wanted someone who had been there just to manage that transition. Rivera's doing this all after being there for a couple months, and like I do think head coaches probably have a tough time stepping down from their duties, and you hope that physically, if there is, if it becomes complicated, that there will be a way for him to get the rest he needs, because you know we've seen it personally what it can do.
Well, you have to be worried about the coronavirus. I mean,
there's that too.
I mean, you have to be a little extra worried when you're at risk.
The team has a, quote, plan B in place if Rivera does have to step away from his duties. And, yes, there is also a teachable moment in there for all of us. Rivera detected that lump, didn't ignore it, went to the doctor. We should all follow that path if you ever see something that's out of place on the old bod. You know, we talk about bods on the show, and this is talking about the bod in a different way. Still,
I mean,
important.
I feel like I have a lot of lumps on my body right now, and it's not, they're not, I don't know what a doctor would say about it, but it's unpleasant to the eye.
I know what Autumn Calabrese doctor would say. She'd say, get back on that beach body workout.
Beach body.
I could see you going to the doctor and explaining all the maladies on your body, and then the doctor just being like, you're almost 50.
I haven't been to a regular doctor sort of checkup type thing in a long time.
All
so
right,
probably do.
Follow Dan's advice. Yeah.
All right.
How about this? How about what just happened with Ron Rivera? Maybe make that the reason to go to the doctor.
Well, my doctor again is going to be female assassin, and it's prevalent, and it's you know that
doctor's appointments are now virtual too. They're not letting you in, or they're requesting don't show up right now, which makes sense. So it's a little strange.
You're looking for more of a Kevorkian. Is what you're saying.
Essentially.
Mark. Okay.
We'll have to bring it in Norway. Like, if Mark suddenly leaves for Norway, we'll have to be a little worried.
In other news, a certified trope alert down there in Tampa. Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians
trope alert
believes...
Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert.
Trope believes alert that Rob Gronkowski, the version that they're seeing right now in Florida... The version that Tom Brady successfully lured out of retirement after 1 year is the same guy who was the greatest tight end of all time in New England years ago. The guy that has all these records and Super Bowls and all that. Years later, at age 31, with a body like an operation game board, and after a year out of the game, Arian says he's totally rejuvenated, and the guy that's on the team now is that all-time great. Mark, are you buying this, or is this a certified trope alert?
Well, first of all, I think that the trope lady is not exactly like a 9-to-5 grinder. She probably does about 2 hours of work over the course of an entire year on this show, but she does a nice job with it, and she's very consistent. Oh, I'll start right there. Pleasant voice. But here's why I buy it. If you put Gronk like on the Bears or, you know, the Chargers, I'd have questions. But he's paired with Brady, and he's basically talked about the fact that, you know, Guerrero and Brady have been working with him closely, and he's changed his diet, and this stuff has worked for Tom Brady. And Tom Brady and Gronk, like, the fact that they're paired together, I buy the idea that his body is healthy, and they're going to produce right away because they're like peanut butter and jelly. I mean, these two just know each other so well.
Well, I buy it because you can see it in the little clips. I mean, it's funny, you would think you can't get anything out of these running on air clips, but it's like Rob Gronkowski couldn't move, you know, the last time he was on the field. And he couldn't move in some of those training camps either. Like, it wasn't like he showed up and people were like, ooh, Gronk's back. It was like he never really recovered in the last couple of years of his career from the cascade of those injuries. Now, that said, he hasn't played football yet. I mean, there hasn't been real hitting, and probably the biggest decline I saw in Rob Gronkowski in his last season was as a blocker, where he was no longer a difference maker in terms of his blocking. Although he was out there and he gives you flexibility, I think the back injury really came into play there. So you're going to have to watch him play a real 50 snaps in a game and do that a few times and see how he holds up then. I do buy, though, that he is moving better. He has to be. I think he is. And he said it. He says, I think he, it makes sense. A year from away from the game. And it sounds like he worked out harder with the WWE and with the Brady stuff than he probably was beforehand. He said, he basically admitted he didn't work as hard as he could have working out beforehand. Dan's not buying it.
No, I'm not buying it.
Well, he is moving better right now. There's no doubt.
Dan, do you made, part of you not want to buy it, even if you are?
No, I have no problems with Gronk. What is Gronk doing well? How does that affect me negatively? I have no problem with it. But the fact of the matter is, like, yeah, you could look great running around in shorts in August, but that body is gonna be cranky again once he gets tackled a few times and meets some crushing blocking assignments. And it is the reason why we roll out trope alerts on this show is because it's legit and it usually does hide the reality. And the reality is that this trope is coach colon aging veteran with history of lower body injuries actually as good as ever. That's not possible. That never happens. So we'll see. And if you guys want to put your sandwiches where your mouth is, I'd love to do some statistical wagering.
No, not in this one. Because to me, it's not the lower. It's the back. It's the back and the neck. And that when you were a fan of the Patriots watching Gronk, every time he got tackled from behind on his back, you held your breath. And half the time he did get hurt. I mean, that is always how he got hurt, is someone kind of tackling him, jumping on his shoulders because he's not going down. And that's it. And then he's not the same the rest of the season. So
right, and I can see it. They have two other good tight ends there, or ones that they could service. You could use a lot. And
I don't think
his snaps being managed.
I don't think Gronk will
be. They're talking about the fact that he could have the third fewest snaps of the tight ends.
Well,
Peter
King speculated that.
Right. I'm just saying, but like,
I would imagine he'll be behind Howard. Like, if Howard is healthy, I think they'd be smart not to use Gronk 70.
As he should be.
Yeah.
Right.
The idea that you would phase out someone as talented as OJ Howard because old man Gronk's back in town, there's a way to make this work while you don't, you know, give up on OJ Howard because he had a bad 2019. All right. Well, meanwhile, on the throne of sleaze, Gronk's old team, Jared Stidham is having a rough camp. He is right now battling injury. It's discomfort in his leg is how it was explained by Rap Sheet. He's also been throwing the ball all over to the place in practice, including guys on the other side of the field on defense. So Stidham struggling with turnovers in practice and now battling a leg injury. All good news if you're a Cam Newton fan, Mark.
Yeah, I get that there's been this talk about, you know, who's going to start and could they start multiple quarterbacks. To me, it's a stunning upset if Cam Newton, even if you remove the interceptions, isn't your week one starter and continues on that way. That's just where I'm sitting. I don't like that. There are things that I just don't need to pay that deep attention to in training camp with no preseason games. And it's stuff like this. Stidham to me is a project, and so far the project is not going very well.
Right. I think it's not surprising after, you know, not having OTAs, they come out there and they're going up against the best secondary in the league that, you know, you can guess which offenses are all getting the bad reviews in camp. The Jets are another one where it's like the offensive talent doesn't match up with the experience and the talent of the defense. And there's a few others around the league like that. Doesn't surprise me that Stidham, Hoyer, and Cam, you know, hasn't looked that great. Stidham supposedly has been throwing the nicest ball, but he's been throwing it to the other team, you know, seven times. Josh McDaniels said Stidham's practicing next time they're in full pad. So I'm not really that the injury doesn't really matter that much as he would have to play so well in camp and show that he was so far ahead of Cam to play him ahead of Cam. And he's not. He's a second year, fourth round pick right now.
ESPN's Mike Reese believes that none of the Patriots quarterbacks have, quote, flashed in summer practice so far. Yeah, I don't put anything into that. Like, yeah, do I think my Jets are going to the Super Bowl this year? No. But am I freaking out because the offense? I mean, all offenses are going through it right now. That's part of the machine here.
Right. There's so much more to learn and grasp and variables on offense than there is for most defenses.
I want to know how Cam's throwing the ball. I want to know how Cam's throwing the ball. The fact that Reese said, and I've seen it twice, that, you know, if you just look at who's made the best throws, who's got the best arm, you know, has had the best plays in the passing game, it's been Stidham. That makes me wonder, how is Cam throwing the ball? How does his arm look? Because that is the bigger concern to me, not the toe and the foot injury that he had last year. We still haven't really seen him rip it for a long time since that shoulder surgery, and that's what I am most concerned about, at least as a pastor.
I guess I'm confused in for people that study the game and know, like, to say that Jared Stidham is throwing the ball well when he has like 7 interceptions and 4 practices.
I think they're saying
with more,
he could throw a spiral, like. Okay, I could throw a spiral.
I think the point is, you know, yeah, he's been making the biggest mistakes, but if you picked out who's had the best pass plays in camp, they've almost been all Stidham too.
So well, it's concerning that it's not Cam Newton. Jameis Winston.
It's ugly there.
He's a bad Jameis.
It's also as you mentioned, I don't know what to put into these practices. I also don't think it's a bad thing not to have preseason. But I'm feeling this now. It's like, is it that big a deal? I think it's fine.
I'm with you.
Well, to the guys at the bottom of the roster, it's a big deal. But
absolutely.
Yeah, for us. All right. In other news, the Melvin Ingram standoff in Los Angeles feels like it's coming to a close. We'll see. But Ingram signed an adjusted contract yesterday, according to Mike Garofolo of NFL Network, with the team that guarantees this year's salary, according to sources. And according to Mike, this was a driving force in Ingram's return to practice. And he added that we'll see what it means regarding his push for a contract extension. We talked about this on Wednesday's show. He's 31, coming off not a game-breaking type season. Joey Bosa just got the biggest defensive contract ever. So I think his future in Los Angeles, very murky. But this feels like, Greg, a move that they made that gets him back on the field and back to business in 2020.
Yeah, it's a little love for a guy who's done a lot of great work for them. It's also ultimately not promising much other than you're going to make the team, which you would have, and that if coronavirus cancels games, we'll still pay you. So that's a little extra. I do think it's directly related to Bosa. You know, your buddy gets all this money, and then you want a little. It happened with us when Mark got that monster guaranteed contract.
Oh, my gosh.
Guaranteeing him $40 million over the next 4 years. We all were like, hello.
It was awkward.
Well, it caused a rift. But I mean, I think they went in the right direction with the initial salary bump heading towards me. That didn't make Wes very happy. He's always been squawking about the money. But, you know, you're right. It's pretty clear to me on the Melvin front that they don't really want to give him an extension. I mean, right? I mean, I think they want to see how the season goes at best.
You know what was the best part, though, Mark? When you took that massive extension and you gave every dime to the Boys and Girls Club of North Hollywood, like, that showed me you were a man of character.
Yeah, I don't know why it would surprise you that I would do that. It sort of just seems to be right in the sort of character that I would. That's how I use my money. Just give it all away to other people, not my own children, but other children in a Boys and Girls Club in NoHo, as they call it.
Right. Your children are using old shoeboxes as shoes, but those kids in NoHo, they're flying.
They won't even let my children into that Boys and Girls Club, which I found to be uncivilized. Like, given all this money.
They named it after you. It's
right.
The Mark Sessler Boys and Girls Club of North Hollywood, and Luke and Colin got turned away at the door.
Yeah, it's not right. We're working on that.
All right. In other news, KJ Hamler, the rookie wide receiver, is out a couple weeks for the Broncos. Not good. With a hamstring injury. And, of course, the way the season is barreling towards us now, less than 3 weeks, a hamstring injury really puts his week one availability in doubt. And, like you mentioned, the Jets and Denzel Mims, their wide receiver they're very high on, who also pulled a hamstring. When you take a rookie off the field, and this offseason especially, during this portion of the season, it's going to be very tough, you would think, for Hamler to find a role early on in 2020.
He was a big part of the reason people were so excited about the speed of this Broncos offense. They still have pretty good depth, but that's taken away one piece. And you said it, just this year more than any. Hamstring injuries have crushed rookie receivers, I feel like, every year. And it just feels like it's going to be doubly true this year. And we're getting so little news. I think that's part of the reason why, like, it's not a fiery rundown right now. There's no preseason. That's part of it. But I think it's because there's no access. I think there's stuff happening out there that you don't know about because people aren't in the building. You're only getting these Zooms. So you only know what the coaches tell you. And if for them to tell you he's out in a couple weeks, that means it's quite serious.
Yeah, it's like the position I'd least want to see a player tagged with a hamstring injury. Because at wide receiver, it becomes like February, March, and that wide receiver that had that early season hamstring pull tells you, oh, it affected my entire year. And we saw with Odell Beckham, he came back and was fine. But, I mean, these things can linger. And I think, Greg, your point that, we don't really need the preseason from our angle, not the young players. Coaches would love for this access to never grow anything beyond where it is right now. They're loving this.
Zooms,
so I think this is their dreamland, you know?
And how can they go back to – that'll be interesting to see how they go back in the media front. And then how do they go back to three preseason games? I guess they can't renegotiate that. I feel like going back to two feels like that's
perfect. Right?
Going back to three seems crazy next year.
Odell Beckham is the best case scenario for this type of thing. I mean, we've been doing this long enough. I remember his rookie season, he yanks his hamstring at Giants camp because the guy's always hurt. And he is out the entire first month of the season. And then he gets back and he's so incredibly talented. He still lit the league on fire. But unless you're at that kind of level of a talent, it's very difficult to find your role. What are you smirking for, Mark?
No, I remember like people being really down on Beckham before they saw him play because of that injury. Why isn't this guy in the field?
I mean, the guy's always hurt. And then I have to watch all these social media clips this week. Oh, look at Odell. He just leapfrogged over his own linebackers. Like, how
that's
about
why,
while
that's why Mark's smirking.
Well, it's like while Odell is, you know, walking on water this August, let's just hope he doesn't pull a hammy doing that. You know, it's just like I want to see this guy play 16 games.
You and Odell Beckham have never felt like a road trip pairing that would work out very well. There just seems to be some heat between you guys. But Beckham also played wire to wire through injury all last season. I mean, do we give him any credit for that, or does that get where does that play into your equation?
You gotta play. You get more credit if you play well.
I don't know about Odell.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, 1,000-yard season while injured. Okay.
All right. All right. A lot of drops. Here's the thing.
Here's
the thing with the Odell Beckham injury is very confusing to me. Because when you watch, especially at the end of the season, I wouldn't watch those last five Baker games. Odell was open all the time. And he had a ton of drops. And he didn't have a lot. He was bad on contested catches. So the whole part of him being injured was confusing because the biggest problem he had, I thought, was like he wasn't on the same page and he couldn't come down with passes in the past that he did. Maybe that is the hamstring, but it wasn't like he didn't have opportunities. But that's 2019. Let's move on from that.
That's in the past. Hold on.
It's the fridge repair guy.
What?
It's the
all
fridge
right.
repair guy. So I'll be okay. back in like a minute.
Speaking of, bye-bye, Greg. You know, the top of the show, Mark, when Greg, you know, you want to have that moment where we're all sharing it. It's like 10 years ago, I moved here, and we've been on this roller coaster ride together for the past 8 years, and you just want him to be involved with the conversation, but it just didn't seem like we could get him to engage there.
He seemed a little reticent. I'd like to dig deeper into why that was. I think the findings might be unpleasant to you and maybe to me also, and potentially to Erica. So we don't dig deeper into that.
Ricky, what do you think? What do you make of that?
I think it was clear as day. Unfortunately, you guys. Like Mark said, I don't think you should dig deeper into it because it doesn't go very deep. He just doesn't like you guys.
Yeah, it seems rather evident.
Like there's no warm feelings about the last 7 or 8 years.
He doesn't care if you've been there for 10 years.
All right, we're back.
We're
back.
Yeah, anyways,
so I think Tua has the best ball.
I think Tua seems he'll be fine.
Tua too.
Yeah.
All right. In
Tua
other first awesome. Round, Greg is back. In other first round news involving wide receivers, Marquise Hollywood Brown is poised for a big second year with the Ravens, and he's you know, made some headlines. Greg, you mentioned it on a podcast earlier this summer. He gained 23 pounds. He bulked up 23 pounds in the NFL offseason. That's almost like the entire weight of my 3-year-old child. And you would think that this would be, first of all, you worry about his hamstrings and every other part of his body. But also, if you were curious, Mark, I know you're very plugged in on diet and what you put into your body. And actually just this week, starting this week, my own training camp, I've really been cleaning it up and I'm trying to keep the calorie intake below 2000 which is, you know, when you start like trying to track these things, realize how easily you give away calories. But that's my situation. A guy that's trying to drop weight. Marquise Brown is trying to gain weight, and he was on a 4,000 calorie diet this off season. And here is the diet. You ready? Mark, take note if you want to bulk up.
I will.
Breakfast. And by the way, I know this is a trope in its own right that these stories pop up, but I always like just seeing what these guys are eating. Breakfast, 7:30 a.m., 4 boiled eggs and oatmeal. Snack, 9:30 a.m., protein shake and 2 tablespoons of peanut butter. Lunch, noon, a protein, either steak, chicken, or lamb, with rice, potatoes, and greens. Snack, 2 p.m., goddamn snack, in the honor of Rex Ryan. Protein shake, 10 ounces of almond milk, 1 banana, and 2 tablespoons of peanut butter. Dinner, 5 p.m., early dinner, another protein, again, steak, chicken, or salmon, with rice, potatoes, and greens. And then 7:30 p.m., finally, one more snack, another protein shake, 10 ounces of almond milk, yogurt, and 2 tablespoons of peanut butter. And that's how you get, and then you work out like a maniac, and you're like a almost hilariously gifted physical specimen. You could gain 23 pounds of muscle that way.
That's just a bodybuilder's regimen. I mean, so there's got to be, you know, periods of lifting in between all that. I don't know. You know, I think that it probably would do, if I tried that diet, it would do an absolute job on the intestinal tract. I don't know how that would work out, but that's how you put those pounds on. That's how you do
it. Can you imagine?
Four, I think 8 boiled eggs at 5 a.m.? No, thank you.
I think I think I could give it a go. Maybe I'd have to downsize it a little bit here and there. But by the time you got to the 9:30 or the third protein shake with the extra 2 tablespoons of peanut butter and almond milk, and that's the third time today, and you just ate like your second steak, and you'd just be like stuffing it down, and that peanut butter and almond milk would be like oozing out of your mouth. Like, bleh, bleh.
Greg, you sound like the perfect person to sponsor this type of plan.
You know, we've never had we've never had a meme on this show yet, something that really broke through. Greg, you spoon feeding the peanut butter into your mouth. I think that could do it.
That's 2 shows in a row where you've created a bit of a meme, Greg, with, you know.
You're a meme generator lately.
Well, I feel, you know, we talked about it, I think it was earlier this year. When you want social media advice, you just come to me, you know.
That's true. Triple G. And finally, in the news, bad times for Thom Brennaman. I think he goes by Tom, but, I mean, T-H-O-M, and you want me to call you Tom? At a certain point, you need to make the choice.
You're right.
But that's not what we're focusing on here. Reds broadcaster, and Wes has been listening to this guy and watching this guy for decades as a Cincinnati Reds baseball fan. But Thom Brennaman suspended from working Cincinnati's games after using an anti-gay slur on the air on Wednesday night, prompting the team to apologize for what they called a horrific homophobic remark, which it was. And promptly, Fox, about 12 hours later, announced they were pulling Tom off the air on NFL Sundays. And, you know, once this story is out there, and it's one of the all-time broadcasting gaffes that I remember, to do that live on the air and say what he said. But when they were giving his background, I was stunned to see that Brennaman, Fox, stole the NFC coverage from CBS in 1994. And it was a landmark thing, Fox getting into the broadcasting game. And Thom Brennaman was on the first group of teams in 94. And he's been there the entire time since. So you guys could do the math there. I mean, the guy has been a staple there. So with Brennaman out for this season and likely beyond that, I thought this would just be a good time to take a look at where we're at with the Fox teams. Real quick, I'm going to go through the Fox teams. And if you don't follow this as closely as we do, because we kind of are way into this, because we're just these teams, Mark, right? They're just so, they become a part of our life for 4 months, especially if you're, for your job, you're trying to watch all the games. You can't get away from these guys. They better be pleasant.
Yeah. To your point, for more than 4 months, for 10 years in some cases, 15 years. I mean, you can hear their voices in your head. If I say Pat Summerall, you can hear his voice if you think about it in your mind right now. I mean,
that's good.
Right, that's good, and that's the good teams. There are a couple teams, and you can get into it. I mean, there are certain teams that lessen my enjoyment of some games. You know, they're not all created equal.
Tom was one of those for a while. I mean, at some point last year, I almost got to the point that I thought they were so bad they're good, but he's such a blowhard. He's so opinionated and knows so little that it almost cracks me up. And he's with Chris Spielman, who I like, and it's kind of fun, but the two of them off each other were insane. So, good riddance.
Wow, Greg takes the gloves off on. I mean,
we talked about it. We talked about him on this show before this.
Yes. So here are the teams, just for posterity. The A team is Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. Since 2006, that's been the team with Aaron Andrews as the sideline reporter. The B team, which I believe to be solid as well, Kevin Burkhart, Daryl Johnston, and Pam Oliver.
Because Charles Davis left for CBS. Mm.
Burkhart underrated. I like Burkhart a lot.
Burkhart's great, yeah. The third team, this is interesting. Kenny Albert, who's solid. Jonathan Vilma, is that new?
Yep.
Yeah.
Who was Albert working with last year? Does anybody recall?
I think Rondé Barber.
I always thought Kenny Albert was Marv Albert's younger brother, and I learned more recently than I should have that it's his son.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, I always thought it was his younger brother, because Kenny Albert has been around for a billion years, and it's his son.
Anyway, that is stunning to me. I always thought it was his brother.
I mean, Marv is like, you know, he's been...
100.
He's still in top form, or at least close to it, considering. But yeah, I think he's approaching his 80s, or maybe, you know...
He is late 70s, if I'm not mistaken, yeah.
So Albert and Vilma, it'll be interesting to hear how Vilma does this season.
I thought Vilma was really good on ESPN as a, you know, studio guy, but I haven't heard him on a game.
As they'll have rotating sideline reporters, and... Sideline reporters, is that going to be a thing this season? Probably
no.
No, they actually announced it, that NFL Network reporters, I mean, all sideline reporters are barred from the field during games for the entire 2020 season.
All right, so Thom was with Spielman, as we said, and Shannon Spake was the sideline reporter. So Shannon, I guess, is not involved or will have a different role. Thom out of the mix. So they got a plug. They could potentially mix in with one of their other teams. They have Chris Myers and a booth mate to be named later. Wasn't Myers with Barber?
I always tried to mute that channel.
Yeah, that's not my favorite.
And then the final team is Dick Stockton, Mark Schlereth, and Jennifer Hale. So we'll see what Fox does. They have a notable hole to fill at the play-by-play spot for their D team.
I mean, Dick Stockton has been doing games since about 1926. You know, our guy Peter Schrager loses that sideline work that he's excellent at. So
I wonder they'll probably come up with some other workaround. I like kind of in the NBA, maybe they'll do it in the, you know, in the walkways, like under the stadium. I don't know. They'll probably come up with something. But like listening to that group, you know, no offense to Dick Stockton and Thom, and Chris Myers. Well, I guess some offense. Let's get some new blood in. I mean, I know it's a difficult job, but some of these guys, football's not their main sport. There's a sense of punching the clock. Like, we can find the next generation of people. Let's do it.
Yeah. This might be they've been around forever. I'm with you.
It might be the old Damashek thing, which maybe it's changing now, but Damashek was always mystified that we couldn't find 32 people on the planet who could play quarterback at a high level. I think it's maybe a tougher job.
It's an incredibly tough job.
And we're giving it respect saying it's a tough job, but I think it's even tougher than that. The guys that can do it, you know, call out immediately who the player is, have an understanding of the game and a knowledge of the teams to be able to talk for 3 to 4 hours. I have a lot of respect for people that do it well.
Honestly, because I think Greg, we have talked about this 100 times, that Greg is good at, you know, this is happening, this flag was thrown, or, you know, Sean Payton just let 8 seconds go off the clock in the middle of the third quarter. Greg's having a hissy fit over it. I don't know why at all. Like, I just watch the games, and I'm sort of like, I bathe in the overall environment of the game, and there are nuggets, things I see, but I need to kind of sometimes stop, pause, and see what's... I'm just not great at, like, instant analysis. If someone put me on play-by-play, that broadcast would be an absolute... disaster to the person.
So you're saying Fox should not reach out to Mr. Sessler.
I'm not the new blood that they should be seeking at all. Sideline reporter, also a tougher job than people realize. You got to track down PR people to get injuries. I mean, these jobs they look easy and they're not easy.
All right. Well put, Mark. That's what's happening in the news.
Greg is thinking he could do play-by-play. That's why he did not.
No, I'm terrible. I did do color on college television at Tulane for a couple of years. I could never do play-by-play. Throw me in, do the color. That'd be fun.
But I did that a little bit in college, too.
That's a skill set I would never, it would be terrible.
Yeah, it's...
Well, it looks like, according to Wikipedia, Chris Myers needs somebody to do color with him this year.
Well, there you go.
I mean, just get
so there's an option.
Just get like the quarterbacks' names right. Come on.
Let's get Mike Berkowitz on the phone. See if we can get you on the E team for Fox this year.
Like that.
Got to start somewhere. All right. What's up, Berko, if you're listening? All right. That is it. Hey, again, reminder. The show on television is tomorrow, Saturday, NFL Network. The Around the NFL broadcast, which is a detailed rundown of everything happened. There it is. In the week that was. And we're having a lot of fun doing that. We tape it actually right after today's broadcast. So if you want to watch it on Fridays digitally, it's on NFL.com at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I believe. So check out the Around the NFL broadcast. And I also, one more note, I saw and I tweeted that we are apparently, by this metric on Apple Podcasts, we're the 15th, number 15 podcast, I believe, in the UK this past week. Overall, not just sports. That's awesome. Thank you to everybody. Just a call to not just the UK listeners, but the American listeners too. Please go to Apple and rate us 5 stars and leave a positive review. But even if you don't want to leave a review, if you could just juice us with some star ratings, that would be very nice. We don't ask for much. We don't charge you a dime for the show. If you could do that for us, consider it even.
Yeah, I'd say start. If you know people that don't like sports or don't like football, have them listen too regularly, because that's the new territory, the new crowd that we're looking for to get higher than 15th in the UK. Mm. That's a insult to us. We should be 3rd or 4th at the lowest.
Yeah, I tweeted it. 15th place is 14th loser.
Yes.
How about a little present for Dan's 10-year anniversary? You know, at the NFL Network, just leave 5 stars. That's why I didn't say congrats earlier. I'm going to leave 5 stars and leave a great review for Dan.
There you go.
Up.
That's I all, knew it. All Dan I knew related. It, Greg. All right, and we'll read it because I'm going to check it every day, Greg, until I see the review now.
Do it right now.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back Monday. Hoping Wes is going to be with us for the Monday show. And coming up next Wednesday, of course, the Fantasy Extravaganza. So everything is starting to heat up now. It's getting wild. Let's get out of here. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the old boss, Ricky Hollywood, behind the glass. 10 years gone, man. 10 years gone.
Correct.
Till Monday. Thank you.